The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them, so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals. Whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation, Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
This podcast contains explicit content and is not suitable for all ages. Listener discretion is advised.
The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation. Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Welcome back to Always the Last to Know. I'm Ash.
I'm Katie.
Hi, Katie. What's going on?
Hi. Oh, you know, just hanging out, wishing I was napping. wishing it wasn't so hot.
Oh my gosh.
The usual.
It's been very brutal. I'm over the summer.
Just me too.
Give me the fall now.
Bring fall back.
Fall
now. What about you? How are things?
It's just been a little crazy at work this week.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm a little stressed about that. But we're all kind of like, a little stressy, but we're all kind of like getting through it together because I think we've all hit that point where we're like insane.
Yeah.
We just keep like laughing at the crazy shit that keeps happening. So at least we're having fun together in the insanity.
Yeah, that's a good place to be. At least you're not, you know, there alone, I guess is what I mean. Not a good place to be, but if you have to be there, don't be there alone.
Right. Sometimes it's, I was in Helen's office today and I forgot that Kyle was in the embalming room and I heard noises because they share a wall with Helen's office. And I looked at Helen and I went, you know, I almost forgot that Kyle was in there and thought that there were just sus noises coming from the embalming room.
Yikes.
And that was like towards the end of the day and I was like, I can't today.
Just can't do this right now.
Not right now. So that's how I'm feeling. I don't know. That's my update. Life's crazy.
I feel that. I definitely feel that.
Yeah. I got blankets with Chalupa's face all over them.
They're amazing.
I showed them in a video to our patrons, but I'll probably post pictures of them on my Instagram.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
I'm sure.
Yeah. That's my update.
All right. Well, I say we just get into it because, you know, when you've been working on something for so long and you can't finish it because everything that you've been writing is just a wall that keeps you from writing.
Yeah.
That's been this topic.
Okay. Yeah. Let's move along.
So let's do this.
The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals. Whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation, Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Bodies. Did you see that I named the thing bodies?
I'm so sorry. I'm going to make you regret coming into this with such a jovial attitude.
I'm ready. Let's do this.
Okay. All right. You heard it, folks. She said it. She said, she's ready. Let's do this. I originally started these notes because, or it was in like November of 2022. And I started them then. And I chose this because in our shared notes app that we have, you had written human bodies uses crash test dummies.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that made me technically misremember this 2019 Huffington Post article by Nina Goligowski about, quote, a man, an Arizona man, who was appalled that his mother's body was blown up in the by the military after he thought he'd donate it to medical research.
Oh, shit!
He's speaking out amid an ongoing lawsuit against a private body donation facility accused of trafficking and mutilating human parts, including sewing them together in a Frankenstein manner, end quote.
Whoa!
You said you were fucking ready, so I brought it. I brought it.
I mean, we went from 0 to 60 so fast, you know? Oh my god.
I tried to warn you. Tried to warn you, you came in all confident.
I've seen some shit this week at work. The name of our recording room right now is Bodies.
I told her I was gonna make her regret coming into this with such a jovial attitude.
Oh, I'm keeping that little section in there.
Good.
Yeah.
So anyone who's been a longtime listener knows that I heard the word trafficking and immediately turned into a cartoon hound dog on the hunt for information. That's like my cue word of like trafficking. Sorry, what? The thing is that this 2019 article was talking about something that had happened in 2014. And I didn't feel super great discussing it as if it was the current norm. Mm-hmm. And then some shit at Harvard happened. Oh. And I was like, all right, there's some stuff to talk about. But it still felt weird because it felt a little true crimey for my personal taste for what we normally talk about.
Yeah.
And then some other shit in Illinois happened. And I was like, all right, okay. So we're going to figure out a way to talk about this. Let's discuss the reality of donating your body to science.
Ooh.
Donating your body to science after death is not the same thing as being an organ donor.
Okay.
One of the sources that I used was a government website for the Netherlands. And on that site, they mentioned that organ donation takes precedence over body donation. Mm-hmm. Mainline Health Org in the U.S. said that there are a number of organizations that support organ, eye, and tissue donation and then will facilitate a full body donation to help advance medical research. Through whole body registration, you are able to indicate that you're also an organ donor. And therefore, your organs will be used for transplants before being assessed for whole body donation.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, if you're an organ donor and viable to have those taken out and sent off, that's going to happen first.
Yeah, yeah. I feel like that makes the most sense, honestly.
Definitely. Once your body is being donated, there are three options for that donated body. Like everything else in this capitalist hellscape that we live in, we have a for-profit and a non-profit option.
Of course.
But the author of The Business of Bodies, Ethical Perspectives on For-Profit Body Donation Companies, Thomas H. Champney, says that state or university-based willed programs are a third and separate option, even if some of those bodies from the other two end up at schools or universities later, or even if it is still technically not profit, if you're donating it to a school, it doesn't fall under those three. So it's a little weird, but yeah. We'll get into why. So the state, what I was just talking about, that's the most common form the university or state-based WILD programs. And examples of them can be found in Colorado, Florida, Maryland, Nebraska, Texas, and Virginia. Those states' anatomical boards regulate and control the use of WILD bodies in the state.
I feel like a lot of the states that you mentioned, I've heard about the body farms where they kind of like put parts into different areas. Yes, different
we will be talking about body. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Interesting. And it's usually like college-led stuff because they're like studying it.
Yeah. It's forensic anthropology centers run that stuff. Some may actually run the WILD body programs, while others just provide oversight of the locally run programs at universities or within the state. Some of the state-based programs are also kind of like keeping an eye on all uses of WILD body donations, so imported from other states or even traveling body exhibitions. Other state programs just oversee the use of the bodies that are donated within the state. So some states are like, hey, if you're that like that body exhibit that like travels around.
That's exactly what I thought of when you said that, because I was like, wait, what? And then I was like, no, I went to that in DC.
Yes. So some states are like looking into that when it comes to visit. Some states are just kind of like, we trust you're doing your thing.
Yeah.
University-based WILD body programs generally get them from within their specific region, and they may run their program based on individual state regulations or by oversight from the state anatomical board.
Mm-hmm.
There are two main not-for-profit body donation organizations in the United States: the Anatomy Gift Registry in Hanover, Maryland, and Life Legacy in Arizona, both of which started in the 90s. These organizations were established to be able to provide bodies or body parts to educational or research institutions. More specifically, any smaller universities that didn't have their own body donation. So we're talking like medical schools who don't have their own way to obtain bodies.
Okay.
So they encourage individuals to donate their bodies through advertising at funeral homes, hospices, and nursing homes. These organizations prepare the bodies, oftentimes sectioning them into smaller parts, shipping them to the recipient, and then they charge the recipient for shipping and handling. Just to be really sure that people understand, the not-for-profit status requires that they only charge enough to sustain their operations.
Okay, makes sense.
Yeah. Anatomy Gifts Registry is the largest not-for-profit organization, and it ships WILD donated bodies and body parts throughout the United States and internationally. Fun fact. Which kind of blows my mind. How are they getting? Are they on airplanes? Like, whoa.
Maybe boats.
Oh, maybe
boats. I feel like it would be easier to do like freezer container.
That makes sense.
You need to keep them fresh.
Oh. That may.
Oh.
So.
Gross. I'm uncomfortable. And I literally work around this.
Yeah. The author that I was just talking about, Thomas Champney, explains that the oldest and most established of the United States for-profit companies is Science Care, with the offices in Arizona, California, Colorado, Florida, Nevada, Pennsylvania, and Texas. They advertise in local newspapers, visit local nursing homes and hospices to encourage individuals to donate their bodies.
What a morbid conversation to have with people
while they're
I mean, I guess you got to do it, but...
The benefit that the person donating and the family gets is that they offer to handle all of the paperwork associated with the death of a loved one and say, like, we will return to you the cremated ashes within a designated time.
Oh, cremated remains.
Thank you. Thank you. Yes. They say that they will return...
That's just, like, very specific ethically.
Fair. Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Hold that right from an article. They say that they'll handle all of the paperwork associated with the death of the loved one and state that they will return the cremated remains within a specified time. They also dismember the donated body and ship the parts to different clients for education and research, same as the nonprofit.
Mm-hmm.
They charge the clients a fee that covers the handling, preparation, and shipping of the parts. Same as the nonprofit. The only difference is that the amount charged is greater than the cost from the administration. It's greater than what they paid. But to be super very clear, according to United States law, these businesses do not charge the receiving organizations for the bodies. They charge for the transporting, handling, and other services. Mm-hmm. You are not allowed to sell bodies.
Interesting way to get around it. Yeah. Interesting way to skirt the rules.
Yes, you are legal. You are not allowed to sell bodies. That's why notice how all of these things have been called willed bodies or
very important.
So
you're like, I'm just paying the shipping and handling. That's it.
We're getting the body to you. That costs money. So we arrange all of that, you know, logistics is essentially what they're saying that they're involved in.
Yeah.
It's just what they move around is cadavers.
Wow.
Anatomygifts.org, which is a nonprofit body donation center, says, quote, while for-profit organizations may also be altruistic, accountable, and caring, these attributes are often compromised by the need to generate a profit that benefits companies and owners, investors, and shareholders. A nonprofit organization's fiscal responsibility is to generate just enough revenue to carry out its charitable mission. End quote. Of course, a nonprofit has its own reason to imply that they would be the better option. Mm-hmm. And I'm not here to tell you which one is the better option. Yeah. I'm just here to tell you what happens next. Special Agent Paul Micah Johnson, an investigator for the FBI's Detroit division, has spent the last decade looking into what he called a, quote, vast gray and black market of dead human bodies, end quote. Black market, you ask? But I just talked about all these legit markets. What the fuck? This brings us to one of the only laws, the Uniform Anatomical Gift Act, a statute adopted by 47 states and one of the few regulations governing the non-transplant tissue industry. It outlines the standards for body donation, and most significantly, it requires that donors or their loved ones must provide informed consent before donation takes place. The thing is, when I say your body is going to be used for research, what you think is not what I'm fucking doing. Mm-hmm. But they don't have to specify what they mean when they say research. Mm-hmm. These consent agreements between donors and tissue banks typically stipulate that the body will be used for research and education. But what that means in practice can vary extremely. Mm-hmm. Medical schools are one option, and as I said above, the most common. They use cadavers for training medical students. They don't usually dismember bodies, and they don't sell body parts. Donating one's bodies to medical schools isn't compatible with also being an organ donor, except for corneas. So you have to be really careful, Belle, about which one you want to do.
Yeah.
Some research programs, like medical research programs, will take bodies apart for research and for training health providers on various procedures. Quote, medical research and education, particularly education, is a vague term and is not clearly defined, even in the actual Uniform Anatomical Gift Act, says Johnson.
Because you say education, and I'm like, yeah, medical schools or like mortuary school.
Mm-mm. The misleading of families across the industries is quite common, end quote. That's the FBI agent. Most donors consent to donations for research and education, and legally, the agreements can include addendums that allow for donors to be used for, quote, non-medical projects that can include crime scene investigation and vehicle safety. So some people who have donated their bodies for education were used for human cadavers as crash test dummies when that's not what they signed up for.
Mm-hmm. I certainly would not want my body being used for a crash test dummy.
No. For this reason, everyone is advised to absolutely never register for any body donation program without reading the consent form and reviewing the language.
Mm-hmm.
The consent form will tell you how your body will be used, and it could reveal that your body will be shot at or used as a crash test dummy. It could reveal that your head will be chopped off. The consent form may allow for videos and photos of your bones and body parts to be taken and published.
Like in medical journals and books and shit like that. I don't love that.
The body parts could be shipped to various parts across the country and world. And there are plenty of examples of this happening. Steve Hansen had always wanted to be an organ donor, but when he died in 2012 from cirrhosis of the liver, doctors said his organs were not healthy enough to be transplanted. Steve's wife, Jill, said that hospice workers at the time suggested whole body donation as an alternative. So after she donated, she imagined him in a medical facility with researchers studying the effects of alcoholism on the body as a whole.
Yeah.
Steve's body was actually sent to Biological Resource Center in Phoenix, Arizona, who then sold his remains to the Department of Defense. They specifically told me that my husband had been used as a crash test dummy in a simulated Humvee explosion, Hansen says. Her husband's body was sold by the Biological Resource Center founder, Stephen Gore. Court records showed that these donors were used in a variety of military and ballistics testing, with some resulting in the complete mutilation and desecration of the donor's body. End quote.
My God.
I cannot imagine that that was anything close to what these people thought were going to happen.
Not, no.
So before I continue, this is not me telling you not to donate your body to science, because we do need that to happen.
Yeah.
What we need are more regulations on the non-transplant tissue donation industry. Thomas Champney says, quote, "What I really want from the federal government is basic enforcement on the handling of bodies," he said. "Right now, if I wanted to open a body donation program, I don't have to go to anybody to get a certification," end quote.
Yo, if I need a license to do hair, you need a license to do this.
Mm-hmm.
Are you fucking kidding me?
No license required. No certification. Nothing. Nothing. There should also be rules requiring revenue neutral status and more transparency, because nonprofits are not exempt, my friends. Revenue neutral would be much better.
Mm-hmm.
If people donate their bodies to universities, for example, no federal policies require the schools to disclose whether the bodies will be disarticulated, aka cut up and dismembered. Some disclose it more readily than others, but there are no rules. So people just go with whatever they want. Obviously, we want more transparency and language used in these consent forms. But I also want to just remind you listeners that the people who run organizations are just people. And people are inherently flawed individuals. There is no morality plus that comes along with like these jobs that these people do. Just because they do this, just because they work for a nonprofit, doesn't mean they're fucking amazing. So let's get into some of the cases of this shit going wrong.
Oh boy.
If you can't handle that, please skip to the end. I will talk about some places that are doing it correctly and some of the important things that have come out of that.
Mm-hmm.
So the above family that I talked about a body being donated to the Biological Resource Center in Arizona. Almost that exact same thing happened with Jim Stauffer and his mother's body after she passed away from Alzheimer's. He ended up receiving some ashes from them, but found out later that it only contained remains from her hand and potentially remains of other people. The rest of her body had been shipped to the Army for a Pentagon experiment to be used as a test dummy in an IED blast.
Oh my God.
She, quote, "She was then supposedly strapped into a chair on some sort of apparatus, and a detonation took place underneath her. Basically to get an idea of what the human body goes through when a vehicle is hit by an IED," end quote.
I understand needing to, like, test for that.
I don't like, think that we do. I think we
there's
know.
I think we know, but also, like, I feel like there's other ways you could go about that. I don't have those specifics because I'm not one of those people and it's not my job, but I feel like there's different ways to go about testing for that kind of stuff. Because she died of Alzheimer's, I would assume that he thought that, like, she was going to have her brain studied or something. Mm-hmm. Wow.
Not a boys club of what happens if I do this. I don't think that we need to know what happens to a vehicle when it's hit by an IED. I genuinely think we can simulate
We know what happens.
We don't need to test that. Stafford joined more than 20 other lawsuits against the Biological Resource Center alleging fraud and deception. And in 2019, after years of litigation, the civil trial finally came to a close.
How did it end?
The jury from the Counter Superior Court awarded $58 million in damages to the plaintiffs, finding that the Phoenix Body Donation Company and its owner deceived the families into donating their loved ones' bodies only for them to end up dismembered and distributed for profit. 10 out of the 21 plaintiffs were awarded damages, which included $50 million in punitive damages and $8 million in compensatory damages, although a full list of which plaintiffs were given money wasn't immediately available. That's just the civil case. Let's talk about some of the shit that they did that I got from the FBI's legal case. The FBI, criminal case. The FBI agent that was a part of the raid of this place said, quote, "I observed a large torso with the head removed and replaced with a smaller head sewn together in a Frankenstein manner."
That was like
on display just for funsies, my fucking dude. "I observed body parts piled on top of each other throughout the facility, with no apparent identification to indicate what bodies they came from or whom they might belong to. Buckets and coolers with various body parts, including a bucket of heads, arms, and legs, all absent of identification. Body parts strewn about in freezers. Male torsos without limbs or genitalia. A cooler just filled with male genitalia at a body donation center. These people donated their bodies for education and research."
I'm like actually so fucking disturbed right now. And I think that the fact that I work in the funeral industry is giving me like a slightly different, I don't know, perspective of it. But like all of that is so incredibly disrespectful to the dead. People cannot see it right now, but I'm crying. That is so wildly disrespectful. Every single one of those pieces of someone should be in its own separate packaging, labeled and everything. The ethics of all of this is obviously fucking insane. And the like morality too is just, wow. I'm like stammering because I can't even put my thoughts together because of how absolutely atrocious this is.
Yeah. Quote, "The defendant's acts were so outrageous in character and so extreme in degree as to go beyond all possible bounds of decency and are regarded as atrocious and utterly intolerable in a civilized community," end quote, the suit said. "The defendants either," another quote, "defendants either intended to cause plaintiffs emotional distress or recklessly disregarded the near certainty that such distress resulted from their conduct," end quote. Stephen Gore, the owner of the center, pleaded guilty in 2015 to illegally conducting an enterprise and was sentenced to 12 months deferred jail time and 4 years. Of probation.
Was he like charged with like defiling a body? Because I feel like, isn't that a felony?
Yes, but he wasn't technically defiling the body. It was signed away that he could do research and education. That's the fucking problem, dude. It just says donating bodies for research and education is fine. Here's some fucking education. There's no regulations to this industry whatsoever.
Right, like the manner of storing these body pieces, like there needs to be ethics behind this, because right now there's nothing ethical about that. There needs to be guidelines on that, because I mean this is disgusting, and that is the way that those are being stored, that's defiling a body to me. That should have been a fucking felony.
Oh, absolutely.
But
absolutely.
You're right, because there's no fucking laws against it and no guidelines, nothing.
Doesn't matter.
I can't wait to talk to Lauren about this.
I could just start a business, body donation center, fucking bing, bang, boom, got a giant freezer, done. And then sell it. Dude, I'm sorry, that it gets worse. I'm so sorry. Sorry.
Not the week that I had to work an extra day at the funeral home.
That's why I was like, can't wait to talk about donating your body to science.
And you were like, ooh. And I was like, oh no.
Oh no.
Oh no.
Authorities said that he and the other defendants, the other people working there, had been mistreating and illegally selling donated bodies since at least 2007. So, you know, that happens in like 2015, comes out in 2019. And I was like, okay, things must have gotten better, right? Mm-hmm. Fucking wrong. So fucking wrong. This year, the manager of Harvard Medical School's morgue, Cedric Lodge, was accused of letting buyers come into the morgue to pick what remains they wanted to buy, then would steal them, parts of the donated cadavers, like brains, skin, and bones, take them home, and ship them to buyers through the mail.
Stop.
Mm-hmm.
This is like that article that we talked about in one of our Patreon things with the woman who was like providing body parts to a guy who was selling them on Facebook Marketplace.
Basically. Fucking basically.
I mean, this is fucking crazy.
Yeah.
Oh my God. And Harvard.
Harvard.
I mean, like, please. It's like, I know uppity rich people do bad things.
And but like, there's like a reputation that comes with Harvard.
Yeah. Like, come
you
on.
Would think, like. Yeah.
You're working in the morgue at Harvard. Like, the fuck is wrong with you?
Right. This body part stealing scheme stretched from at least 2018 to early 2023, according to a complaint filed in federal court in Scranton, Pennsylvania, where one of the defendants, Joshua Taylor, lives. I will get into how he gets involved just one second. The other defendant, Katrina McLean, runs a store called Cat's Creepy Creations in Peabody, Massachusetts, and that was searched in March. The 15-page indictment doesn't super, like, go into detail about what body parts were purchased for and all of that stuff, but it does specifically mention that McLean shipped human skin to a man in Pennsylvania and, quote, engaged in his services to tan the skin and create leather.
End oh, quote. This is some serial killer shit. I know he didn't kill anyone, but like...
Now, I had mentioned Joshua Taylor above, who lived in Scranton, Pennsylvania. I'm not saying that it was Taylor who did the tanning. That is unclear.
Mm-hmm.
But according to the indictment, McLean asked Cedric Lodge to supply more tissue to send to, quote, the dude I sent the chess piece to tan, end quote, according to the indictment.
Okay. All right. All right.
So Taylor, Joshua Taylor, would also purchase his own things. So from September 3rd of 2018 to July 12th of 2021, Joshua Taylor sent 39 electronic payments that ended in a total of $37,355 to a PayPal account run by Cedric's wife, I believe, Denise Lodge, for human remains that he stole from Harvard.
Oh my God.
A May 19th payment from Taylor, May 19th, 2019 payment from Taylor had a memo, head number 7. And November 20th, 2020, a transaction was for brains.
Stop. That's how they wrote it?
Mm-hmm.
Stop. Come on.
Mm-hmm.
Come on. As if it's a silly, goofy time. Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah. So that case is ongoing. That's like happening right now.
Okay.
Meanwhile,
oh my God.
In Stop. Illinois, Dale Wheatley, who performs delivery for the Anatomical Gift Association that I mentioned above, nonprofit of Illinois, reported concerns about the mishandling and poor conditions of donated bodies. He went to his supervisors and he was like, hey, it's not good. We're getting some complaints. His supervisors basically popped back with like a big fuck you. This is your job.
Of course.
So he brought it up a little bit further, you know, continued to file complaints. The AGA have received several complaints from universities it sends the cadavers to. Donors, or those who have donated their bodies for medical use, were covered with flies or contorted in such a way that they couldn't be used, Tilden wrote in an email, which was provided to the Tribune. There were a handful of donors that were recently delivered with hands and feet that show signs of decomposition. So Wheatley did the right thing in reporting his concerns. And when his bosses found out that he went above their head and reported them, the response was, he came into work, walked into his office, and found sage burning next to three severed heads lying on a plastic container on his desk.
What?
Donated bodies, heads, severed heads, were used by someone's boss as retaliation for filing a complaint handling donated bodies
with burning sage near it. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah,
because I'm just like, it's Illinois, I bet it was a white person, and I'm like, the sage is not for you. Can you not?
No, and normally cultural appropriation is really bad, but my main focus is on using someone's severed head as a retaliation, yeah, against a subordinate.
Three
like
what the fuck.
That is the most foul thing I've ever heard. Mm-hmm. Is so horrible.
It's so disrespectful.
Yeah. David Fish, he's an employment lawyer who was hired and filed complaints on Wheatley's behalf with the Cook County Medical Examiner Office, the Illinois Department of Public Health, the Illinois Department of Financial and Professional Regulation. And he went in depth into what some of the original complaints that Wheatley was bringing forward. Mm-hmm. Some of the original complaints basically was that Mr. Wheatley believes that the AGA should have to utilize a scale to weigh donors' bodies to determine the amount of embalming fluid required to ensure that they're not subject to premature rotting and shorted usefulness, he wrote.
That's a great fucking idea.
So basically what he's saying is that when the donated bodies come in, they don't weigh them. So they just pump them full as however much embalming fluid they think is necessary and send them off. I'm sure you have an understanding as to how many regulations go around embalming fluid.
Yeah. And there's also, depending on like what you're trying to achieve, there's different amounts that need to be used, different kinds that need to be used. There's actually a lot that goes into that. Obviously, I don't know all the specifics, but I love listening to Lauren and Megan talk about this stuff. And I have learned a few things over the last year about the process. And just pumping them through full of whatever and sending them off is definitely not the best way to be going about it. Yikes.
Notice how the police weren't on that list because nothing that they have been doing is illegal because there's no fucking regulations. Mm-hmm. Those are just a few of the examples from recent that I pulled to kind of highlight just how completely unregulated this industry is and to highlight a little bit of like the darker sides of this beautiful thing that, yeah, needs to happen. Because I promise, I promise, if you or anyone you love ever needs a surgery, you don't want to be your doctor's first time cutting open skin. Mm-hmm. This is so important. So I want to end this episode talking about a couple places that really do it right. Okay. And some of the things that have come out of there. You had mentioned it before, the colloquial term of body farm. University of Tennessee, Knoxville, has the Forensic Anthropology Center and their body donation farm. There are about 100 new donor bodies a year that are received from the university's anthropology research facility, known as a body farm, and its 2-acre outdoor site. As the bodies decompose in a variety of situations that they set up, they yield a ton of knowledge that help advance science and solve crimes. There are currently 7 body farms across the United States, but the University of Tennessee's is the first. It was founded in 1987 by anthropologist William M. Bass. About 5,000 pre-donors have committed their bodies to the facility. And one, wow, important part of this is like registering is like your medical history and all of that stuff so that they can maximize research potential. We know that there are a ton of gaps in research, so mm-hmm. they kind of do what they can to ethically fill those in.
That's amazing.
Right?
It's I'm so fucking cool. I'm here for getting the information.
It's so fucking cool. Bodies are used for multiple studies and can be placed in open, buried, covered with plastic, put inside a car, and the facility accommodates about 200 bodies at a time as they break down. And researchers from UT and across the world come and watch and document everything that's happening.
That's the stuff that fascinates me. I find right? that so interesting.
Right.
I don't know what I'm going to do with myself, but like if that's the road that I chose, I'd go to them. I'd be like, let my body help you solve a crime in an ethical way.
So one study that they're actually doing right now, and it's close to being done, is aimed at figuring out and getting a more accurate time of death by examining how medications like painkillers can affect the insects and bacteria that aid in the decomposition process.
Oh, interesting.
So they're looking to see if there's any medications that people commonly take that might repel female flies that would delay when they lay eggs or impact the size of the maggots, and then that can kind of figure out some of the extra variables to figure out when someone died.
That is so interesting. See, right? That's the kind of shit that I would want my body to be used for.
A new research project is looking at whether the fluids produced by decaying bodies can affect the color of a tree's leaves.
Oh.
And I love this. So, quote, I'm not exactly sure, honestly, what we're going to end up with. My guess is that we're going to see an uptake in nitrogen in plants, but there could be other chemical signatures as well. And does that change how chlorophyll works and therefore change the pigmentation of the leaves? End quote. The wow. goal is to see if there's a way that they can detect abnormal leaf colors or abnormal tree things so that if you're looking at 100 acres where a body might be, you can use a drone to narrow down a few target areas and shorten the time of searching for bodies. It's like fucking awesome.
And give tighter areas to work in. Well,
exactly. So they're hoping that it'll give a smaller area. So rather than searching the whole 100 acres,
yeah,
the drone will be like, according to the leaves, it could, you know, these three spots have had something die while these trees were growing.
This yeah, dude. Fascinating.
So yeah. fucking cool.
Let my body be used for that. Okay.
So fucking cool. The anthropologists have also assisted with cold cases. In 2018, the FAC associate director, Lee Meadows Jantz, helped identify a young woman who was believed to have been a victim in the Redheaded Murders.
Oh, not my people.
I know. Why do you think I picked this one? There were so many other options. A number of mysterious slayings in the southern states from 1978 to 1992. So they were able to use some of the things that they've learned to help identify someone who was potentially a victim in one of those murders. Wow. Donated bodies are often used in medical schools and other educational institutions to teach anatomy and medicine to healthcare students. They offer valuable hands-on learning experience for aspiring doctors, surgeons, and other healthcare professionals. After all of the educational and research purposes are complete, no matter who you donate your body to, the body is typically cremated. Some donation systems offer either an option of returning the cremated remains to the family, while other provide a sort of communal memorial and scattering of the remains. Hmm. So no matter who you're kind of sending them off to, you do and are supposed to get some sort of end-of-life ceremony at the end. And I really appreciate the ones who straight up say it is a communal memorial and a communal scattering of the remains, because they at least acknowledge we might not be exactly positive what remains are your loved one in the end. And then you know that.
At least you're prepared for that.
You're prepared. There are organizations that do this.
It's like me getting told that I'm probably getting a mixture of some other dogs with Chalupa's remains because they tend to do it in groups. That's just kind of how it works. And like, I'm prepared for that. And it's okay because I know that there's literally no DNA left. Yeah. It's just the ash.
Yeah. It's a keepsake for the living. So I don't want this episode to be pushing people away from donating their bodies. It is so, so important. The regulations need to be more. So this is like another thing to look out. Like when you guys are voting for people, ask politicians about this. I have never seen a single fucking politician mention this. And right? I want to know where they all stand. Because this is a way bigger issue, and I will just end with the fun fact that a lot of agencies prefer to hire women morticians because men are often caught doing really fucked up things to bodies. And I just talked about some of those fucked up things.
I know what other kind of fucked up things you mean, though.
I just didn't want to get into it.
Well, really? I was going to say, I don't think our listeners were aware of that fact. I was aware of that
because of being in the industry.
Yeah.
But it's, yeah.
Yeah.
Some people are weird. Like, really
look
weird.
Into the language used and the contracts that you're signing. Even if it is for an altruistic, amazing thing, like donating your body, the other person on the end of that contract is just a person, and people fucking suck. Be cautious and maybe donate to University of Tennessee. I might look into that.
Yeah, right?
I might look into that.
What up, Tennessee?
I could chill there for a little bit before they send my remains back.
You're the only 10 I see.
No,
hey. I'm done.
I'm done.
So yeah, listeners, that's donating your body to science. Yeah, I'm glad to be done with that. It's a lot of fucked up pictures I saw. Guys, there's a lot of fucked up pictures. Be so fucking careful when Googling this.
Now I have to listen to this again to edit it. Cool. See you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
For any photos related to today's episode, please go to our Instagram.
You can follow us on Instagram and TikTok at AL2KPodcast.
Like us on Facebook at Always the Last to Know Podcast.
If you have any questions, please email us at al2kpodcast@gmail.com.
Please share, rate, and review us on your podcast listening app of choice.
Join our Patreon. You can find us at patreon.com/al2kpodcast or click the link in our bio on social media.
Thanks for listening.